Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
The birthday song from the Beatles on my 100th show. Welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I've been looking forward to this show for some time. I could not believe that this is my 100th show. Yes, it is. Because September 20th, 2017 was the first show that I did of Spouting Off. It had a different opening and very slightly different. And I listened to part of it a little bit because we're going to play a little bit of it. And it didn't sound like I was nervous, but I really, really was. I did like 2 weeks of show prep for my very first show because I was nervous. And to have the opportunity to do this and sit behind a microphone and spout off has been just the joy of my life. It really has. Now, you may be wondering, how did I only get to 100 shows when it was September 20th, 2020? I mean, September 20th, 2017 was my first show. Well, some of those things are because I got married and I had guest hosting. Actually, that was counted in there. But also occasionally we had a repeat show. But especially when the Newsom brothers had a terrible fire in which they lost everything, we actually interviewed them right after that. And so we were down for a few months. And they have come back bigger and stronger. And I am so, so very grateful to be working with them, and that they are stronger than ever. BBS Radio does stuff nobody else does, and so it's a pleasure and an honor to be affiliated with them. So before we get going on our little monologue, I pulled up my very first show. I didn't know what I was talking about, and so we're going to hear that right now. Doug, if you please.
Better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
When you feel that need, you think it's heaven
fast. And good afternoon, wherever you are in the country. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. And welcome aboard on this maiden voyage of Spouting Off. It's Wednesday, September 20th, 2017, and there is a lot going on. There's Hurricane Maria going on in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean Islands. So we have our thoughts and prayers out there to where people are suffering with the hurricanes this year. The Jewish New Year starts tonight. So if you are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, as I am, Happy New Year. It starts tonight at sundown. I'm Karen Cataline, and just like the announcer said, you are better off when you're spouting off. Why? Because you get stuff off your chest. You get fewer ulcers, and see, I don't even have a cough button here, and you get to learn to tolerate the opinions of people you think are wrong or are beneath you or just plain stupid. Here, everything is going to be grist for us. So that's about it. So, you know, it was the beginning of a show. Since then, we've gotten a trademark on the podcast of Spouting Off, which I think is pretty cool. And that's why I can use it with a little circle around it and stuff. So we're going to move on right now, because what else do you do on your 100th birthday show but spout off. That's what you do. This week, I have a piece in the Western Journal, and I do need a cough button today. My husband says, take an antacid. That's what he says. But who knew that when you are doing talk radio, you're constantly trying to get the morning crud out of your throat, no matter what time in the morning. It really, really is. So anyway, the Western Journal posted a piece of mine. I'm happy to say it's up to 5,000 hits right now. So if you can find your way clear to go over to Western Journal and pick it up and maybe share it if you like it, I'd appreciate it. This is the first time, I think, I've ever really, really written a piece about abortion. I never really did that before because I had probably the biggest change of heart that I've had, and I've shared that with you in the past. So I was your typical pro-choice Republican based on libertarian ideas, and I still have those ideas. It isn't, I'm not going to adjudicate that issue right at the moment. I still think that it's important to make most of your arguments in the marketplace of ideas. But as to where the left has taken this contentious issue of abortion, it stuns me what they've done with it. Because of their, for the lack of a better term, godless socialism, trying to push down our throats in this country, we've gone from let's keep abortion safe and legal and rare to celebrating late-term abortion at the Empire State Building in New York, and Governor Atrocious, Virginia Governor, I think I've blocked out his name, it's Waltham, Wortham, yeah, you know who he is. He celebrated. It's amazing to me that we have Americans like this, that you can give birth to a baby and let it die, you know, just make it comfortable, let it die. And what profoundly disturbed me about that was that the left continues to hate not only America, but life itself. Anyway, What got me writing this piece was that Pete Buttigieg, the South Bend mayor of South Bend, Indiana, was grilled by Meghan McCain on The View this past week. And she asked him flat out. So let's see. Let me find it for you. She said, so if a woman wanted to invoke infanticide after a baby is born, you'd be comfortable with that? And here was Buttigieg's answer. I don't know what to tell them morally about what they should do. I just know that I trust her, and her decision medically and morally isn't going to be any better because the government is commanding her to do it in a certain way. And this got me reminded of how stunning a paradox it's been all through the Obamacare years, the atrocious Obamacare years, where the government not only wanted to tell you what insurance you could have and what doctor you could use, completely the opposite of what Obama said and how he sold this to America. But it was clear that those who are paying the freight are going to tell everybody what to do, and they would be in charge of your health care. Your lungs, your spleen, your heart, your brain, they're going to decide whether you get to live or die. Now, Sarah, Vice President Sarah, I'm having brain drains today. she tried to warn people, McCain's vice presidential candidate. she tried to warn people that, yes, there really would be quotas and they would decide who lived and who died. And in fact, that's precisely what happened, what would happen with Obamacare, because the government decides. Now, I've confronted leftists before about how come you speak the language of freedom when it comes to abortion and even late-term abortion and even infanticide, which is murder and a crime. But when it comes to the government controlling every other part of your health care, you don't mind if the government gets between a woman and her doctor or a man and her doctor. Of course, they don't care about men. It's the most supreme kind of hypocrisy to say that abortion is the only kind of health care that I think people deserve freedom for. How silly and how preposterous is that? Well, when you realize that the whole issue of abortion has been used to rustle up support among women and an obligation that they must vote Democrat because they're women and because, oh, the big bad Republicans and the big bad men are going to tell you what to do with your body. Isn't it interesting that they don't care whether the government tells you what to do with your body as long, I know I've said this, it's about abortion? I couldn't abide that. So that's what this piece is about. And Buttigieg couldn't bring himself to even say, Mr. Oh, sermonizing to everyone because he's such a good religious person. And I don't care what his religion is. I really don't. But he couldn't bring himself to say that it's immoral to kill a baby after it's born. And this celebration of death and eugenics comes right out of Margaret Sanger. And when I began to start, I'm tying this up in a nice little bow. When I began to start reading about eugenics and the fact that the left, the lecturing left, doesn't care that Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist. They don't care that Margaret Sanger was a full-blown racist who hated black people and wanted to use abortion in order to lower the population of black people in this country. And yet Republicans who want to save black babies are called racist. I mean, the hypocrisy goes on and on. So that is why I had a change of heart and soul on abortion. I'm probably not maybe as absolute and extreme as some people, but certainly the great majority of Americans understand what late-term abortion is all about, and they most certainly understand what infanticide is about. So I direct you to this piece at the Western Journal. Just look up my name at Western Journal, and you'll find all my stuff there that I've written for them, or just go to my website, KarenKataline.com, and it'll be posted there in one form or another. I'm delighted that on this, my 100th show, I have with me, after our break, after our commercial break, Michael Sabbath, attorney, author, and all-around gadfly who knows a lot about a lot of stuff, and it's way fun since I've known him for a long time. We're going to talk a little bit about one of the pieces that he sent me about how Republicans fight back in this stunning political time and an election year. So you won't want to miss that, I hope. So we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll be speaking with Michael Sabbath. Thank you for joining us. Please stay tuned. This is Karen Kataline, your host of Spouting Off on BBS Radio Station 1. Stay tuned, please.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Thank you. It's always on your birthday show that you end up with technical issues. My great apologies that we came in late, but we will retape. We will tape an opener to this, my 100th show. And it's only right that there should be technical problems on my 100th show, because I've had to learn the hard way that with talk radio, anything can happen. I bought new equipment to replace faulty equipment, and now the new equipment is faulty. But let me not worry you and burden you with my petty problems. What we decided to do is go on with the show, and that's what I've learned from Doug and Don Newsom, because at the beginning I used to get flapped at about these things. I guess I get a little bit flappable, but not nearly like I used to be, because I was such a, you know, a ninny about trying to be perfectionist. You can't do that with talk radio, I found. I love talk radio, and September 20th, 2017 was my very first show, and we'll do a little opener. If you listen to the podcast, we'll splice that in here, but I am delighted to have with me an old, but not old, but a longtime friend. I met him when I was running for office in 2002, and I knocked on his door. And we've been friends ever since. He is an extraordinary man, his own man for sure, but thank God, a Jewish conservative. His name is Michael Sabbath, and he is from the Denver, Colorado area. He's an attorney, an author, an all-around rabble-rouser like myself. Welcome to the 100th show, no matter how rocky it was, Michael Sabbath. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here. By the way, I'm still waiting for you to pay for the repairs on the door that you were knocking a little bit too hard. But
what are you talking about?
Well, you come knocking on my door. You used a hammer. You had a big for contributions.
Yeah.
You asked me for all the change in my cup holder in my car. You took anything. I had a stale bagel. You took that, too.
Oh, well, you know, a stale bagel is probably better than no bagel at all.
Absolutely.
What I loved is when I talked to you, I just couldn't believe that you were Jewish and that you agreed with me so much. I figured there must be a flaw. There must be a problem somewhere. And it is a problem because you and I are in our right minds. And, you know, we're a minority within a minority within a minority. But you are starting to get noticed by great talk radio hosts like Peter Boyles in Denver, and he has you on all the time, and I just thought that was great. He found you through a piece you wrote in Complete Colorado about guns, and you are prolific on that topic. I want to get started on this 100.
Don't get carried away, Karen.
Yeah,
be
really.
Modest. It's just 100.
Yeah, really. It'll take me a long time to get to 200, but I'm committed, or maybe I'm ought to be. I don't know which.
You're right. One or both. You're very modest.
So, Michael.
It's quite an achievement. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And because of the experience and that I'm getting, I mean, initially when I started spouting off, I sort of saw it as a training ground for myself, because what I wanted to do more than anything was terrestrial radio. Well, I get to do that, but I get to do so much more on internet talk radio because it's infinitely more flexible. And now I'm doing a lot of fill-in in a lot of other places. But,
yes,
you know, enough about me. You talk about me for a while.
I'll talk about you.
Please
coincidentally, don't. Coincidentally, I was on the Peter Boyles show this morning.
Yes.
And I came in, I did show prep, such as it is, and I came in with a 40 pages of notes, and I'm rifling through them as I am talking to Peter. I'm trying to look for something that's interesting, something that appealed to an audience, and then a break came up, and I told Peter, as I can now tell you, will tell you, that I look at the news, I look at events, I read articles differently when I think in terms of appearing on a talk show, Peter's show in specific, because I think in terms of, can I explain this, you know, can I explain this effectively? Can I explain this persuasively? Is there logic and morality in my view, my interpretation of an event? Would it withstand criticism if I shared those opinions with somebody other than talking to myself, which is one of my favorite people? But
well, you're very conscientious. And that's why I want to jump right into this, because I read some of the articles that you told me about that you saw that I didn't. And I want to touch on this somewhat. And then after the break, I had an insight about the article that you sent me, which was stunning, the connections. That's why it's so hard in talk radio to decide what to talk about sometimes.
Well, there's
because
so
everything
much.
Is related.
So
everything
much.
Is associated and related to everything else. But you sent me a wonderful piece by one of the editors of American Thinker, and you were 100% right. I loved this piece. I recommend everyone to read it. It's called Heightening the Contradictions. It's by J.R. Dunn from American Thinker, and he has actually published a few of my pieces, and then I started going elsewhere for a little more exposure. But American Thinker is one of the best, and you said it yourself. It has wonderful substance for a whole lot of things. This one, however, is a treatise on how to fight back and how to fight back the left in times when the left is a major threat to our republic. And why don't you tell me why you thought it was so great, and then and we can commiserate. No, we can be joyous about this piece together.
Well, I'm reviewing it even as we speak. I think that, and I don't want to do an injustice to Mr. Dunn, I think it is one of the most insightful, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, insightful, articles I've read in a while. I think the theme is, or his major point or thesis is, that there are instances where an ideology or a position has contradictions to it, and or inconsistencies. And if one wants to refute that that situation, let's say an attack by a group or an individual that follows an ideology that has inconsistencies, it is essentially, if I understand it right, the article, it is essentially self-defeating to evaluate and analyze the minutiae, the small details of each contradiction, but rather to fight back by showing the moral, let's say, moral depravity, to emphasize the consequences of a particular policy or a particular individual. So, for example, let's take Bernie Sanders. In fact, I made a quip like that. Take my wife,
take Bernie
please.
Sanders,
yeah, please.
Please.
Yeah, right.
Before you make that analogy, I disagree with you.
Okay. I've got a meeting to go to, Karen.
I welcome opportunities to disagree with you because I don't very often.
Yeah.
Please don't forget what you're going to say, but I wanted to throw this in.
I'm so hurt.
Yeah. Before I forget what I was going to say, it comes with age. And that is that I think he is saying, his last sentence, I'll make it quick because I want you to go on.
Hurry up.
He is saying to heighten the contradictions, to argue the contradictions and not be put on the defensive about the issue itself.
That's what I said.
Is that what you said?
That is what I said.
The other thing he's saying is to argue motive, 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 motive. And that's what I loved about this piece more than anything else, because the strategy on the left is to put us on the defensive as to why we are sexist and transphobic for not acknowledging that there are 32 genders. And then we go about trying to defend why we think there's only two. That's not the way to win. And
that
I will.
That's my just, point. I agree with that absolutely.
And Dunn says this, and I will quote directly from him.
Yeah.
He says, instead of constructing lapidary responses, start out by stating bluntly and straightforwardly that this isn't about transsexuals or immigrants or race or whatever. What it's about, first and foremost, is a method of attacking this country and its people, an effort to make an end run around the rules without admitting they're doing any such thing.
That's why I love the article, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you and I have said that to each other for a long time.
Yeah,
that,
I'm sick of it.
That Republicans are too darn nice, and they're always trying to make a logical argument with people who aren't logical.
Well, I think this is important stuff. I really do. So let's go through the issue methodically. Let's go.
You're going to hate me. You're going to hate me. We got to take a break.
I will not
make a note of that.
I will not hate you.
Make a note of that. We will pick up with that when we come back. Karen Catalina on the 100th show with technical problems galore, and my friend Michael Sabbath. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm proud and pleased to be celebrating my 100th show with my guest, Michael Sabbath, who I've known, way too long. And I've just got to ask you before I give you the floor on this that you've been waiting with bated breath, what kind of dog do you have that's 150 pounds?
Well, it's a crossbreed between a Swiss mountain dog and a Great Pyrenees.
We got it
as a rescue dog. Family needed to get rid of it, and we saw a reference that it was available on one of these a community website,
Next
community forums. Anyhow, yes. So we went over, and it's just a beautiful.
Well, that is wonderful. Yeah. I'm a dog lover, and sounds gorgeous.
It's
all right,
animal.
Let's.
Yeah. Pick it up where we were.
Let's
I was saying
where we left off. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. You made the comment that you think that Republicans are just they're too nice, and they don't fight back. And I don't disagree. I would modify that. I think it's not an issue of being nice. It may be an issue of being weak. It may be an issue of cowardice. But it is true that by and large they don't fight back. And so we have what I think is an application of Dunn's thesis. Peter Boyle shared with me something this morning that I didn't know. We were talking about the Nazis and the propaganda and the films by Goebbels. And he said there were one or more films that would show, would depict Jews as rats. And then whether the same film or other films would depict Jews as these monstrous, wealthy, corpulent bankers, industrialists, and that these Jews were destroying the hardworking but not properly rewarded German folk. And the issue was, how do you send out two contradictory messages? On the one hand, they're dirty, filthy rats that can't hurt you other than chew your electrical wires. And on the other, they control everything. And this would be an example of how we could apply Dunn's thesis, emphasize the contradictions. But you have to emphasize it in a rhetorically persuasive way. And that's where I think the Republicans are wretched. That's where I think the Republicans are incompetent, and they are incompetent without any excuse, any justification.
Well,
they spend
fortunes
on consultants, and they are, you know. So you have, let's apply Dunn's thesis. You have a Bernie Sanders who has become a multimillionaire on this capitalist system. He spent his honeymoon in Moscow. He kibitzes and schmoozes with Castro. He loves Castro. Yeah. See, he thinks that Castro did all his furniture, but that's a different company. And and so what are the contradictions there? But you go for the jugular. You don't say he's a hypocrite, because that has no meaning. It has the word hypocrite has no meaning. It's like saying there's sand on a beach. It has no meaning.
Michael, let me take issue with one thing.
Go
that
ahead.
You said. I 100% agree.
Good luck.
That we Republicans haven't been effective in many respects in fighting back. However, it's a broad generalization because it depends on where and in what venue.
Of course,
because I thought that the House Republicans, were as effective as I've ever seen them in a semi-legal setting.
I agree.
I enjoyed that. I think Donald Trump is consistently role modeling for people. They don't have to be like Donald Trump and use his style, which I think is spectacular. Because I lived in New York, and you're a New Yorker, and I got no problem with his style.
Right.
But that doesn't mean everybody has to use that particular style. But the effectiveness with which he does not let them put him on the defensive is one of the reasons their hair is on fire so much of the time.
Yes, I agree with everything you say, but he is one man. He is one man. Where are the Republicans standing up to this powerful movement to get rid of the Electoral College?
Right. Some of them don't believe what they've been saying all this time. Some of them are not even remotely Republican in practice, because their own gravy train is being threatened, and we know this. And Trump may be one man, but he is quite clear about his goal, which is to start or to lead a movement of common sense out of this morass that we're in. I never, ever thought I would see anybody so well equipped to do it.
And all, yes, of that is true. All of that is true.
Yes.
But it's still one man, and and then you have to take, I don't, you don't have to, but I think one should take a dispassionate look at all the variables that have to work in harmony to get what Trump wants to do to get it done. You need bureaucrats, you need administrators, you need judges, you need police. They all have to be on board ideologically and committed. And that does not exist. Trump can do all kinds of things, and he can say all kinds of things. You might like it. I might like it. But like in, I think it was King Henry IV with Hotspur, you know, you can call the ghosts, but will they come? And that's the problem. That's the problem. And so you see, for example, this judge who just came out, she's a Rufa, let's see if I can find the thing.
Rufa?
Yeah, this judge.
A judge named Rufa?
Judge, U.S. District Judge Cynthia Roof, R-U-F-E, R-U-F-E. And she's, she's heads this Independent Federal Judges Association, and she is convening either physically and or by technology means, you know, 1,000 members to condemn William Barr for being political and not being transparent. And can there be a greater irony that this federal judge is yapping about lack of transparency when you
and
have
being political. And being political.
Yes, she says
she's
condemning.
Because, of course, her complaint is not being political at all, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Right.
So,
right.
So she's condemning Barr for being political by pulling this political stunt. She says there's 2,000 prosecutors and so on. And I'm thinking, so what? You know, who cares? In all of my, the 20-some-odd years that I've taught ethics to little children, and by ethics, I mean moral reasoning, I've come up with one phrase. I'm kind of proud of it. And that is...
Lay it on us.
I'm going to, if you would give me a chance, Karen. whether one person disagrees with you or whether 100 million people disagree with you is absolutely irrelevant to the morality of your position. You are either right or you are wrong. Either you can make the better case or you cannot. Either you can make the better moral case or you cannot. I could care less what 1,000 judges think or what 1,000 prosecutors think who, by and large, do what they're told, very rarely take a strong moral stance on anything, and are highly, highly paid and highly, highly insulated and, for that matter, highly organized. Here you have this FISA court, F-I-S-A, this FISA court who that by all objective measures has been corrupted. They have the court, the judges have been lied to. They have been manipulated, and they do nothing. Nothing has been done to the lawyers that lied to them, and you've got this Chief Justice Roberts, who is, I'm very perplexed by this man. He made a statement maybe 6 months ago, give or take. He said, after Trump made some comment about a judge, Roberts came out and said, there is no such thing as an Obama judge. There's no such thing as a Trump judge. It's a bunch of dedicated people trying to do what is right. Now, that is an intergalactically stupid and disingenuous statement, and he knows it. But this is how far he's been politicized, and why can't he just shut his mouth? And what is Roberts doing about the FISA court? And then you've got this judge pulling this stunt.
I love when you get all worked up. Michael. It's great.
I am being dispassionate.
For the listeners, this is the deep thinking and the reasoning power of my friend Michael Savage. And we have to take another break because there's another issue that I want to connect to before we have to let you go.
Okay.
I will leave the commercial break with this, lead to it, and that is one of my favorite Gandhi quotes is, even if you are a minority of one, the truth is still the truth.
Exactly right.
So, I love that one, and you're teaching independent reasoning and individual free will, which is, of course, what the socialists don't want anybody to be taught anymore. We're talking to Michael Savage here on Spouting Off. Karen Cataline, your host, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline, your sometimes humble host, sometimes perplexed host, and this is our 100th show of Spouting Off. Sometime in between getting the title of Spouting Off and getting connected up with BBS Radio, we got a trademark for that name, Spouting Off, which people seem to like. It's we hope that we do more than just spout off here, but everybody's allowed and entitled to do just that. Michael, we're talking to Michael Savage, who is a thinker, an attorney, a ethics instructor, and author. And you gave me another article from American Thinker, which is just stunning in its how frightening it is. It's called Criminalizing Dissent, and it is about Louis Shanker, a 21-year-old junior at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, who simply wore a MAGA hat, a Make America Great Again hat, to an anti-Trump rally, was it? I believe it was.
He was just walking down the street.
Oh, he was walking down the street on campus, but the string of abuses that they did to this poor kid
building one abuse upon another abuse upon another abuse, legal and otherwise, to cover up their own misdeeds is, again, worth reading in The American Thinker. The authors, Karen D. Hurwitz and Ilya, I hope I say this right,
yeah, well, they're the two lawyers who
represented
Schenker.
Louis Schenker. And you being a lawyer, what do you think of this? This is a stunning story. And he happens to be Jewish, and he was constantly called a white supremacist, a bigot, a racist, and everything else. What do you do with this?
Well, what do you do with this? As you know, in the movie, I saw it so many years ago, the movie Shrek, the first one, one of the quotes that from the movie I recall, it was so simplistic and so insignificant at the time, but he said to the Eddie Murphy character, the mule, he said, "Ogres have layers." And that has stuck with me. And it causes me to remind myself that everything that read or think or observe has layers, and that the better thinker, the more in-depth thinker, the more moral thinker, is the one that can see many, many layers, if they're there to be seen. Some things are not layered, but this one has many layers. You have a situation where there's this young Jewish guy who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, and he's walking around the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. It happens to be a town that I'm very familiar with. I have many friends who went to Amherst College. I visited Amherst College at the time that I was going to school. Amherst was one of the finest rated colleges in the country. So I know a little about Amherst and the changes that have been going on. So here we have this situation where a young man is wearing a hat. It got taken away from him in some kind of parade or march or demonstration. But whatever it was very trivial. And it got taken away from him by a woman in her mid-30s. Okay. He's trying to get the hat back, and lo and behold, this woman who assaulted him and took his hat was his own English writing professor.
Right.
So this is the status of the kinds of people that are accepted at Amherst, the University of Massachusetts.
Here's what she said to him when she stole his hat. "You act like a Nazi. You're going to get treated like a Nazi," a female protester yelled at the Jewish grandson of Holocaust victims.
Right. Okay.
So the dedication to any level of truth and the bigotry exhibited there is breathtaking, number one.
Right.
Am I right?
Of course.
Yeah.
But what got me, I truly fear that I am becoming numb to the violence and aggression of the left, whether it's the Antifa or spitting on a person's hot dog or the hamburger in a restaurant. It's becoming more and more extreme, more and more common. And also that police are less and less inclined to interfere. Nevertheless, what got me, there were other aspects of this. Not only what this professor did, but how he was treated by other students. Physically intimidated, physically assaulted, physically surrounded, physically prevented from walking on the campus. And then, of course, the oceanic deluge of death threats and threats of future attacks, future violence. The issue is, how did it get so vicious, so totalitarian, so fast?
It's gang mentality that is being led by Democrat leaders who incite and entice people.
Yes, but you've been
firing people up for several years in false narratives and covering over hate.
Yeah.
I got to say this before the end of the show, though, because I want to tell you what I thought of. And you are exactly right. There are many, many layers to this article, and we could talk about it for several hours. And if we had the time, both of us, we would do just that.
Right.
But what I was struck by, particularly as it relates to you, Michael Sabbath, and your specialized knowledge and interest in the Second Amendment, and the fact that in Colorado we have an egregious and wholly unconstitutional thing that is being marketed around the country called the Red Flag Law. What people do not understand when they are presented with this law for the very first time is who it is they are dealing with who will use this law in the most dishonest, outrageous, and unjust way. The same people that push the Red Flag Bill that enables them to finger people, innocent, honest, law-abiding gun owners, are the same people who have decided that because someone is wearing a hat they don't like, he must be a Nazi. They don't talk to him. They contradict, to quit J.R. Dunn, they contradict everything they used to lecture us about on their moral high horse about not using bigotry and bigoted stereotypes to decide what a person is really about by without asking them. So if you combine these two things, the Red Flag Bill and an example of the irrational, unjust, dishonest politicization of these left, who are pushing these kind of bills, what you see is a true nightmare on the horizon. There, I said it.
You said
your
it? Could you repeat that?
I got 3 minutes for you.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to, I've got actually 2 minutes because I got to wrap up the show.
Yeah,
but that's
okay.
What I saw when I saw this article.
Yeah.
Go for it,
a
Michael.
Couple of
Thank
things,
you.
A couple of things. It is not irrational. The behavior is not irrational. It is extremely rational, and
yeah.
It's extremely effective, and it is achieving results. People are intimidated. People are afraid. This kid shaved his head so as not to be recognized, and then he dropped out of school altogether. It angers me when people characterize, and some very, very bright writers and thinkers and pundits and radio show hosts talk about Antifa and what as being irrational and super extreme and so on. They are wrong. This is calculated, it's methodical,
yes.
And it's achieving results. I know gun owners, you talk about the red flag, I know gun owners who are getting rid of their guns, or many of them. They say, who needs the brain damage? You
this
go down
insane.
To any gun shop.
And that won't stop them. That won't stop people from going and ransacking their home anyway and claiming that they have a gun if they dare to say that they are a conservative or they like Donald Trump.
If they think
that that's going to stop them, it's not.
No.
You're 100% right.
And coincidentally, I was invited and will be on a panel tomorrow night at the Centennial Gun Club, where Richard Abramson, the owner, invited me to be. And we're going to talk about the red flag laws. But another point, and you used the word or the phrase, the red flag law is unconstitutional. In terms of rhetoric, in terms of the power of words, I'm suggesting that the word or the phrase, it's unconstitutional, has no rhetorical significance, has no rhetorical power.
We've got about less than a minute. What would you say instead?
I would say instead that it is a vicious law that hurts innocent people, and that it is intended to hurt innocent innocent people.
People.
The word unconstitutional has no impact anymore. First of all, nobody knows what it is.
That's
Who
true.
In the world?
I'm going to have to leave it there, Michael, I want everybody to get his book, The Good, The Bad, and The Difference.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. Thank you, Karen.
How to talk with, let me say it here, because it's good, it's not bad, it's good. Go to Amazon and get his book, The Good, The Bad, and The Difference, How to Talk with Children About Values, and How About Talking to Adult Children Who Aren't Mature Enough to Understand Values. I got to leave it there, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being with me on my 100th show, Michael Sabbath, and we'll have you on again soon. Thanks
it's
for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Bye.
My pleasure, too.
Take
well,
care.
That does it for this, the 100th show of Spouting Off. We'll do 101 next week, Tuesday. And thank you so much to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And thanks to HW, who says that he has an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. He's being a little bit modest. and tune in next week when there's going to be oh so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.